Dr. McKinnon, good morning.
Good morning.
So what kind of online tools have been used to manage and mitigate disasters in the past?
There's a range of tools. So a lot of the social media that a lot of us use every day, things like Facebook or Twitter, are used by people during a disaster, often to communicate what's happening in their local area. So people will be posting to Facebook images of what's happening in their local area if there's a flood or something like that happening. People will be tweeting about it. And this information can be really useful to, well, it's often people tweeting or putting on Facebook to let their family know what's going on and that they're okay or that something's happening, but it can actually be really useful for understanding where resources need to go, where emergency management needs to go, or it can be informing other people in the local area about what's happening. So it becomes this kind of useful communication tool to let people know what's going on in a particular area.
Mm, and even on Facebook, they have that tool where you can check in online if you're in the area of a big disaster, I believe.
Exactly. So these kind of tools are now being used by emergency management professionals or people like the Rural Fire Service and the State Emergency Service to put out information to let people know what's going on as well.
Well, what kind of groups are the most vulnerable to disasters that could benefit from these online tools?
Yeah, so when we think about disasters, we're thinking about how different groups can be more vulnerable. So, for example, elderly people who might be less mobile than others are going to be more vulnerable in a disaster simply because they often don't have the capacity to get out of the way of what's happening. But it comes down to groups like, you know, refugees or migrants in a particular area who might not have the language skills to be able to comprehend the information that's being sent out about by emergency managers. It might come down to people who, on the basis of gender or sexuality, kind of need the protective space of the home. And if they lose that space of the home, they're going to be more vulnerable to the kind of discrimination or impacts of social marginality that gets escalated in a disaster. So there are a range of kinds of vulnerability. Kids as well, children often need assistance during a disaster. So there are a range of types of vulnerability to that kind of affect the ways in which people do or don't cope within a disaster.
Mm. And well, how does this affect, you know, as you're mentioning before, following on from that, how does this affect people's ability to access? How can we make it more equal for people?
Yeah, so when we're thinking about these online tools, we're thinking about who has access to be able to use those tools. So if we're reliant on people tweeting or putting on Facebook about what's happening in their local area, then we need to know who has access to those resources. And sometimes, you know, we might create maps of from people's tweets that show, you know, the intensity of how many tweets are coming from a particular area can be used to understand the kind of level of risk that's happening in a particular area. But we need to understand when we use that kind of information that not everybody has access to the tools to tweet. If you don't have access to the internet, then you're not going to be able to provide that information. So if we're kind of putting resources into an area where a lot of tweets are coming out showing a lot of people in trouble in a particular area, we also need to know that another area might not be tweeting as much simply because they don't have access to the internet or mobile phones that can kind of put that information out into the world.
Well, with this inequality and access to using these tools, is this changing any of the policies put in place to like mitigate disasters for these vulnerable groups?
So as I say, emergency management organizations are starting to use this information, use social media as a way of kind of communicating with people. And look, that can be really effective. It's a really important tool for spreading information, for encouraging people to have disaster plans, for example. So the RFS can put out information about how to develop a bushfire plan, for example. So these kind of tools are really important. But what's equally important is understanding that if that's the kind of mechanism that we're using to encourage people to understand their disaster risk, we also need to be thinking about how we communicate with or receive information from people who aren't online.
Well, that's all the time we've got for this morning. Thank you for joining me, Dr. McKinnon.
Thanks. No worries.